everyone, and welcome back to another episode of In the Rearview Mirror, a supernatural retrospective. We are your hunter hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We're here to talk about more episodes of Supernatural, finally done with season 8, moving on to season 9, giving you those good quality reviews and our thoughts on every episode of Supernatural. This week we watched, I think I'm gonna like it here, Devil May Care and I'm No Angel. Nothing really happened in these episodes.
They're just setting up season 9,
really. Yeah, there's... I could not tell you what these episodes are really about. I could give you a nice summary of Sam being in the hospital, Sam getting out of the hospital, Kevin beating the hell out of Crowley, Abaddon, and then the boys looking for Cass. And, like, that's it.
And Cass, and Cass's journey.
Yes, and that's about it.
That about sums it up, yeah.
There is nothing really else about these episodes except just more, I don't know, character ads, I guess?
I think it's more character-centric.
Yeah.
And they're just, like I said, setting up the plot of 9. We got Abaddon trying to organize. She's the queen of hell now, apparently.
Well, they don't explicitly say that. She's
claiming the throne. She's like, I'm the queen now. It's like, she's saying that. But the demons are just like, I don't know, honey. Doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah, that's why I said she's not really the queen, because no one thinks that. You can call yourself the queen, but
they're all interesting.
The only really thing I wanted to say about any of these episodes was the first episode. I think I'm gonna like it here. I liked Sam being in this dream sequence, almost the death sequence, I say.
Oh yeah, when they're in the car and all the effects they're doing.
Yeah, and I loved the canted angles that they did. It made it seem that something was wrong in this weird death sequence that Sam is having. Dean is there trying to convince Sam to have the will to live, and Bobby is there to convince him not to have the will to live, I guess.
Right, he's got to decide.
I forgot Bobby was in this episode. I forgot a lot about this episode. Then it came flooding back to me. I did like a lot of the stuff that Dean said was, you know, you do have the will to live. You put me here. Me. Yeah. Dean Winchester, Mr. Keep on Fighting, dude. You made me to be the person to be your reason and logic. When it could have been Sam, and Sam could have convinced himself to live, but he wanted it to be Dean. Especially after the whole thing of season 8, what we just saw is that he wanted Dean to be proud of him. He wanted Dean to love him and yada, yada, yada.
Right, and Dean is the one who convinced him to live.
Yeah, originally.
In real life.
Yeah. But I did love this whole scene of Sam realizing that it is his head trying to convince him to stay or to go. And I did like this whole thing. It was a little odd, though, later on, because in my mind, it didn't make sense because Sam... You know, death comes in. Surprise! I also forgot he was in this episode.
Yeah.
And he decides to actually just die. As a final, I'm done. We're over this. This is the last time I'm going to die. And to me, it was really odd because Sam just had the will to live. And now he has the choice of to live or to die. Mm-hmm. And he chooses to die. And I know he made that decision before the trials, but he didn't even finish the trials at this point. So he's just dying for no reason. In my mind, it was you're pulling the plug on yourself. And that's a bad analogy, I almost want to say, because
it's the perfect analogy.
No, because he could have technically lived. I'm assuming death meant that he was going to live, or they were going to figure out a way for him to survive, really.
I don't think so.
You think, what was he would have done?
Well, I mean, when the doctor came in and told Dean, it was just like, it was pretty much like, this guy's done for.
Well, no, I mean, what else were they going to say, though? Like, where would Sam go? That's my whole thing.
He'd become a ghost if he didn't go with him.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I feel like this would have been a typical, if Sam had said, no, I don't want to go, his body would have died if Ezekiel didn't step
in. No, because that was the whole thing with Sam.
Because he was off, all the doctors are just like, this dude's pretty much dead. Like, there's no coming back from this.
Well, no, the whole thing with Dean that... You know, you keep fighting, and, you know, Dean would have found a way to do it like he did, so it just...
Right, but I'm saying without Dean's interference, this was simple.
That's my whole thing, that I was just like, it just doesn't make that much sense. I don't know, it was weird for Sam saying, I want to live with Dean, I don't know, we're going to do it, because Sam knew he wasn't going to survive the trials in the first place, so that's why I guess I'm a little confused why he thought, regardless... I don't know.
Well, I think he
thought... In my mind, after when he left the trials, mm-hmm. how bad he was feeling, he knew he couldn't just stop. Like, and that's what I'm saying here, going, this doesn't make any sense. So you stop the trials, knowing you were going to die, thinking, maybe Dean and I can find a way for me to get out of this. and then I will live. But then it just like doesn't make any sense, because then Sam chooses to die when he chose to, quote unquote, live.
Right. I mean, really the only reason Sam sort of decided to live was because Dean sort of convinced him to
live. But why would you? Okay, but that's my whole point.
But then it comes back to Sam, and he decides, without the influence of Dean, he'd prefer to just get it over with.
Sam's not stupid, though. Sam knew when he left that church he was probably going to die. That's my whole thing. That, yeah. Regardless so of he kept Dean that convincing him, why would you not finish the trials then? It was the drama of it. Literally, that was the whole thing. It doesn't actually make sense if you think about it.
Well, it only doesn't make sense because they already got over the codependent brother thing back in like season 5 when Dean like did the plan to save the world when he let Sam get possessed by Lucifer, that whole thing. We're well past the codependent brother thing, but they bring it back in season 8, which I think was a poor decision.
Yes, for how codependent it was.
Because they continue the codependency again. Like, we were gone. We were done with it season 6 and 7. Think about it. They weren't really, like, that codependent as much because they got over it in 5. And now you brought it back in 8 for some reason.
And the funny thing is, you can't even say, oh, it's the brother's love. No, that's codependency. Plain and simple. Lisa said that. We all said that. Everyone knows this.
Dean literally says to Sam, he's like, there ain't no me if there ain't no you. If that's not the definition of codependency, I don't know what is.
Yeah. To me, it just doesn't make sense logic-wise. I know they just wanted the drama. To me, it's just they wrote this for the drama. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make any sense. This is where we get all this dumb drama for drama's sake. And I'm just sitting here going, why did we have this? It doesn't make sense.
It would have made more sense, I think, to have Sam fight to live after the trials. He's like, I mean, I already screwed it up and I didn't die to do the trials. I might as well live, do some more good, and then eventually die of something else.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, and I don't know. It was a little weird. And, I mean, to be fair, I'd be pretty tired, too, after doing all those trials, and I'd be kind of over it. But I don't know, like,
in my mind, yeah, that's the whole thing.
It doesn't seem like Sam Winchester.
That's why. Dean convinced him. Mm. Sam ran off to Stanford. You think Dean didn't tell him to stay, too? In my mind, Sam does whatever the hell he wants. He doesn't need Dean to tell him to hold his hand. Yeah, he wants to do this, I want to be proud thing and everything, but he can make his own decisions. He's a big boy. He doesn't need Dean. He's done this before in the past. I just don't understand why here and now is the issue at hand.
I would have supported Sam. He should have finished the trials. And if he didn't, he deserved to go out with death reaping him. Who said it was an honor, by the way. Very cute.
I mean, yeah, it was an honor.
Well played. I love it.
Well, Sam is going through all this trauma, too. Dean's character arc development is 12 steps back. It's not, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense for, again, the narrative and how it's going. We've already done this. We're well past this. Why are we going back to this? It doesn't make any sense. Dean is losing his puppet mind.
He is.
He is praying to any angel, any and all angels. Do you know how dangerous and stupid that is? He literally just told Naomi he doesn't trust angels. He doesn't trust any angels. He all thinks they're douchebags. I don't know why you would pray to any angel. But of course he says, because I'm desperate. What else do you think? And I'm Dean fucking Winchester.
It's Sammy.
Yeah, it's Sam. But I think at this point, Dean does feel guilty because he stopped Sam to do the trials and then he's still dying. And they couldn't even shut the gates of hell. Dean would have still been depressed and sad because of Sam, obviously.
Right.
But I think he would have said he went out swinging, so he did some good in the world and whatever. I don't know.
I think he would have been able to do it. I don't know what would have happened in season 6 and 7 that would change his, I don't know, reaction from 5.
And to me, actually just thinking about this in the whole, it doesn't make sense. We see Dean and Sam's relationship kind of diverge. Because he's friends with Cass. The whole thing that Sam says, you've trusted an angel or a vampire over your own brother. So we've already seen this path kind of splitting. That would have been an amazing narrative, I think.
Dean has other people that he trusts, and growth is trusting other people besides.
Yes, to actually see these characters of there were two brothers. Now there's a large family, and we see these different aspects. And spoilers for the series finale, this doesn't change at all. So I don't know. It just doesn't make sense as a narrative to keep going back to family ends in blood, when in reality, it's family doesn't end in blood. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the brothers. It's not the brothers against the world. I don't know. It was just really odd that we keep going back to this and we keep going over this. It just doesn't make any sense.
Their little family has grown.
Yeah. And in my eyes, if Sam had closed the gates of hell and then Dean could have dealt with all the angel nonsense and then maybe died trying to figure that shit out. And then they would have been done.
Sammy died to close the gates of hell. Dean dies to open the gates of heaven. That's a pretty sexy narrative right there.
Yeah, so I don't know why. And that makes sense. Haha. Like, it's the whole reverse of the apocalypse. Dean, the righteous man.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, Sam was
Sam with
funny.
The demon blood. I know. Yeah,
he closes that, and then he, yeah. That's,
it would have been, yeah, really sexy narrative, right? I like it. I don't know.
It's just, my problem is literally starting at the 8 finale, their character, whatever, gets wonky.
Yeah.
Their characters get all wonky here. They go backwards, and so I'm like, this isn't in character for them anymore, and it's weird, and they're making strange choices, and Dean's acting desperate like he did him back in season 2.
Yes.
Making his demon deal, like...
That's what I was thinking. He's making impulsive decisions that are making it 10 times worse. And the thing is, that's what makes me angry. Because when Dean died, he said, why did you bring me back?
Mm-hmm.
What did you have to do? We all know bringing people back to life means that there's issues. It's very costly. We've said this.
Consequences.
Many times. So, Dean, what the hell are you doing now? Take your own advice. And I know it's Sam to say, well, look at Sam. I have to make sure he's alive. Me, doesn't matter. But even in 5, he didn't look for it because that's what Sam wanted. I guess, but Sam's dead at that point. What the frick?
I know.
At least in this point, the thing that kills me is that Dean didn't find a way to get Sam out of the cage, but he can't have Sam die now when he'd go to heaven. Do you know what I mean? He was locked in the cage with Lucifer, and Dean was like, meh, Sam wanted it, it's fine. And then all of a sudden, he's going to go to heaven, and he's like, no, heaven can't have him.
Well, I mean, true, but he did look, I think he said he looked, like tried to figure out a way to spring him from the cage or something. Do you remember this?
No, he didn't try that hard, because Cass got him out. If Dean talked to Cass in like 2 fucking seconds, he would have figured out that Sam's out of the cage.
I mean, I think he was like reading. He must have done some research or something.
Sam seemed to get out of the cage pretty damn quickly. I don't think, in my mind, Dean didn't pray to Cass because the dude was busy.
Right.
Because if he did, I think he would have been like, we need to get Sam out of the cage. We need to get Sam out of the cage. And I think Cass would have been like, he's already out.
Didn't he come see you?
Yeah, seriously. Exactly. So I think, in my mind, Dean did not look. He didn't look. I know for a fact he didn't look. You can't tell me that Dean Winchester actually looked for a way to get Sam out of the cage. Because he would have... None of this other stuff would have happened.
He might have thought about it, but he didn't ask Cass. That's true. That was a mistake.
Yeah, so don't tell me that, oh, he tried. No, he didn't try. So why are you doing this now, Dean? 5 years later, when we've already gone through this.
Well, then he can't get bitchy about purgatory.
That's my whole point.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, this whole thing is weird. It just doesn't make any sense.
I'm like, now I'm confused because this is still strange.
It doesn't make any sense. We're moving on from that. Well, no, not really moving on. But Dean invites a flippin' angel, and it's Ezekiel, who he thinks he's a good guy. And, I mean, he does call Cass, which we'll get into that.
Right.
Who, and Cass does confirm that Ezekiel is a good soldier. So he is a good guy. Ezekiel is a good guy. Let me say that again. Ezekiel, the angel Ezekiel, is a good guy. So I'll say.
So anyway,
I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to have a really hard time getting these names straight. I'm going to be like, I get Ezekiel.
You know.
The angel. In Sam's body. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so they trick Sam. It's great. It's good.
Yeah, this is another thing I think bothered me is that I don't know. See, Dean is literally just so unhinged.
It's not good.
He's so unhinged.
He tricks his brother, and then he's like, we'll keep it a secret for now.
Seriously, I don't understand. I mean, in my mind, I understand because Dean's thinking, it's only going to be for a few weeks. It's fine.
Right.
He'll never know. He'll be healed.
Right. I understand. Dean was a little uneasy about it. It wasn't his favorite thing to do, but he's like, but, you know, it's going to save Sam, so, which is always his rationalization.
Looking back, I do think Dean handles this a little better than I remembered him handling it. Because I forgot he does ask Cass, and he offhandly mentions about it, about right. Ezekiel, saying that we're working with Angel, he's good, okay. So he's kind of, from Cass, who I trust, he's not a crazy person.
Right.
He did save me. He seems to be fine, you know what I mean? I don't know. He kind of, to me, I think Dean saw Ezekiel acting a lot like Cass, because he was very straightforward and very season 4 Cass. no...
He's stiff.
Yeah, he's stiff. Doesn't really get pop culture references. Like, all that stuff. So it makes sense that he would say, oh, well, this guy's fine. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, this is how angels... The good angels kind of are.
Yeah. So I think we're fine with that. And he said, okay, we'll figure this out. It should be fine.
That's the Winchester model. We'll figure this out.
Yeah. It was a little odd, though. We talked about this, too, about the banishment that Ezekiel was talking about, that they couldn't tell Sam because if Sam rejected him, he could eject him.
Right.
And we had this back and forth conversation of, is that actual canon? But then it was the whole thing of, has there ever been an angel that has ever taken the back seat?
Yeah.
And I think that was the one thing that we were like, well, no.
I think this is a plausible thing that could happen.
Yeah.
I think this makes sense. It's a new bit of information, but I think it makes sense. Because I made the argument. I'm like, well, we've never had the angel take the back seat and let the person who's running their body out.
Because our argument was, why didn't Sam eject Lucifer? But then you said, Sierra, that because they needed him in the cage.
It was a plan.
Loose. And I was like, oh, I guess you're right. I don't know. I guess you're right.
It makes sense for now.
Yeah, for now.
This makes sense and works for
us for
now.
We're
going
to put a pin in that. I'm going to come back to this.
Put a pin in this ability.
This is going to come up later, and I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
For the little bit left of this episode, Dean's conversation with Cass. It was kind of a lot. It was very, I didn't remember a lot of this conversation. And to me, it's weird. It's this backwards thing of Dean and Cass's relationship. We'll probably get more into this in our side Destiel podcast.
Absolutely.
But it's a little odd to me because regardless, Dean is looking for Cass. Wasn't he just really pissed off at Cass in the finale of season 8 that Cass went to Metatron and made the angels fell? It doesn't make sense. And I know they kind of made up in their little thing, saving the world and everything, but this just goes to show that, Dean, why the hell were you pissed off at Cass because of something he did? I don't understand. I don't even remember why he was angry at him then.
Well, we talked about why Dean was angry at him, because they needed to make Cass go talk to Metatron. That was the only reason he was pissed off. Because he was like, oh, you abandoned us.
No, I'm talking about the show's reason. Why was Dean pissed off at Cass? Because he didn't trust him with the tablet. That's what it was. I was like, what stupid bullshit.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying. Yeah, like, you abandoned us, took the tablet.
Yeah, so to me, this doesn't make any sense. Because Dean, in this conversation, when he's praying to him, is, Cass, I really need you. I need you. Hello, why are you not answering? Please, I need you. I don't care what you did. It's the whole thing. Back in season 7, I think, or in the end of 6, of, I don't care, I forgive you, it doesn't matter, you're here, it doesn't matter what you did, you're here and you're alive and I need you right now. So it was really odd for me, again, for the characters, because now that just proves for past canon that Dean was written poorly there to be mad at Cass for no reason other than to drive the plot forward, right, into this whole thing. And this just proves it right here, because Sam was the one who tells Dean that, you know, it's Cass, he's family. And Dean said, what, whatever. Dude, okay, why would you say whatever to Sam and then hear, when you're by yourself, oh, I need him, he's family. He could have just said something like, yeah, I know he's Cass, but I'll stew for a little while to Sam or something.
Well, Dean's notoriously not good with his words and gets huffy and just says things like whatever when he's pissed off. So, like, kind of
I would
have
rather
but
have
I mean,
that,
generally,
though.
Just him being pissed off didn't really make any sense.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
You're making the point we already made before. We already know this. He's more in character here, being like, Cass, we need you, blah, blah, blah. That makes more sense than
no,
whatever
I know.
Happened
I think
there.
This is what I'm saying. This
You're
is
saying
just
the continuation.
Proving, yeah, this is proving my point of why I think that it doesn't make any sense. But and it continues on for the rest of season 9, because this doesn't make any sense. If Cass is so important and we'll work it out, whatever you did, it doesn't matter. And then continuing on in season 9 and all of that is disregarded. So that's why it's a little weird, and I wanted to mention it now, is this is the second time Dean, almost third time, I'm thinking of after Cass worked with Crowley, and then after, oh, I almost said after the Leviathans. That was the same thing. Never mind. This is the same thing. That Dean didn't care what had happened. He forgave him because it was Cass. Whatever. They'll work it out, as Dean said here. Same thing here. He knew Metatron might have been tricked. And Dean even says that to Cass. I don't know what you did or didn't do.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
We'll work it out. And see, to me, I'm like, okay, well, he doesn't give a shit about whatever you do. Yeah, he'll be pissed off in the moment, but... Ugh.
Yeah, that makes sense. At the end of the day...
So why does this not follow in season 9? We'll put a pin in that. And then I find it extra interesting that Dean tells Cass to not look for any angels, go home, go to the bunker, stay there because you need to be rest up. I'll meet you there when Sam is good. That's it. Don't trust anyone but yourself. I don't trust angels. Again, I mean, he does know that angels are coming after him. Well, so
I guess. He knows this is basically some sort of demon deal.
Yeah, yeah.
He's reckless, but he's not stupid.
Yes. It's just a little odd. To me, this is just...
Why is that odd?
I go back and forth on Dean.
That makes sense.
No, because again, this goes back to the whole, he's putting Sam on the front burner. And I know Sam is a little worse for wear right now, but he seems to just say, you know, bye, Cass, go to the bunker.
And then when Sam, what is your problem with this? I'm not understanding. When
Sam wakes up, was like, you just sent Cass to the bunker? He's like, yeah, he'll be fine. He's a big boy. He'll get there. Sam's like, it's Cass. What do you think? He's going to make it to the bunker? With what money? He doesn't know what he's doing.
I mean, I guess.
My whole thing is that Dean is written either hates Cass or depends on him for everything. And it's this weird line of they keep switching between the two. Moving on to the second episode, also doesn't have anything. Really, the boy's looking for demons. That's it. Insert whole rant about Dean not looking for Cass. Again, doesn't make any sense. Sam's the one saying, hey, maybe we should go find Cass. And Dean's like, nah, he's fine. He's a big boy. Anyway, I have the king of hell in my backseat. Let's go find some demons because we didn't shut the gates of hell because we suck. We're just going to go kill the rest of the demons because that's a fucking good plan. And then we'll have Abaddon kill all these hunters that Dean decided to call and we decided to put out in there for whatever reason. And then just to say, oh yeah, Crowley's dead. Now I'm the queen.
So this episode basically sets up Abaddon wants to be the queen of hell.
Pretty much. That's about it.
And she'll kidnap people, and then she said some weird stuff to Dean about possessing him, and that was strange. And
I thought that was pretty funny.
That was too much. I'm like, I get it, okay? Don't call him your lover. That's gross.
I mean, to be fair, though, I feel like everyone's Abaddon just being like, yes, I want you.
I was uncomfortable. I was like, I don't like this at all. At least Dean told Kevin that they're family and that he'd die for him.
Yeah.
That was nice.
That's kind of it.
Because poor Kevin's losing his pup in mind.
Well, yeah, he thinks his mom's dead, and Crowley's like, is she dead? Is she not dead?
You've never seen a body, I mean. Really, Kev, come on now.
Well, I do hate, it's this weird, this is where I kind of like to learn, I learn to love Crowley, is because you think he's being bad, but is he really being good? Because he seems kind of sad that he's by himself. It's this weird in-between of him being evil or him not being evil. Does he actually want to torture Kevin and be his little plaything, or does he just like the company, I always want to say? He can get a rise out of Kevin and talk to Kevin, and it's fun to him. And
yeah, he's locked in that their dungeon by his lonesome. He likes someone to bug.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was
they took
for evil purposes almost. They just took
his favorite thing away from him, being a smartass. That's Crowley's favorite thing in the world. Yeah. And they took that away from him because they're like, we're just gonna lock you in here by yourself and no one's gonna come talk to you and have fun with your thoughts.
The one thing I really want to say also about Abaddon is that I don't know why the boys really think that they're going to win. She's a Knight of Hell. I don't know. They even asked Kevin to figure out how to kill a Knight of Hell. I don't know why they thought this was going to be an easy task. Killing Azazel was a feat. It was so hard to do this. And yes, they've learned a lot more, but he was a Prince of Hell.
It's true.
You don't have the cult. I don't know. It was just, it's a little odd, this demon lore and idea. I don't know. So we'll have to add more to Abaddon's lore of the demon because it's to me, it's just not adding up. We thought that holy water didn't work on her on the past episode, but it never said. We knew holy water didn't work on Azazel. I think we just assumed it didn't work on her.
We weren't sure.
Maybe it worked, but it didn't bug her. Kind of like Alistair.
No, it bugged her.
No. I know. I'm thinking about the first time we saw it, maybe. If they did put holy water on her, it burned, but she was just like, whatever. I just have, like, a memory of her not being affected by holy water. That's why I was really confused.
Well, didn't they throw it on her in this episode, and it looked like it... Like...
No, that you're missing what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say in the last episode, where we actually see Abaddon,
right?
They threw holy water on her, and she didn't... It did not faze her. So I don't know if it was just like Alistair, where at the time being tortured, he's like, I don't give a shit if you put holy water on me. Yeah, I like the pain. Ha 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 ha. And that would make sense because that's exactly what Abaddon was doing. She was stuck in that chair.
Right.
So I'm thinking now when she's blindsided and had holy water thrown in her face, she'd be like, ah, that stings.
Caught off guard. Is what you're saying?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't know, but I don't remember. She might have not had holy water on her, and it might actually affect her. But Azazel didn't work on Azazel. So continuing on with the Sam and Dean drama, I think it's a little funny that Ezekiel, or Dean wants to call him Zeke now, mm-hmm. is kind of manipulating Dean a little bit and knows their relationship so well.
Oh.
To keep him in.
Oh, absolutely.
Sam's body.
Oh,
long.
Absolutely, but
it's kind of funny because
is it
to me? I think Zeke was gaslighting him a little bit to say, you know, Sam loves you. Sam knows. I can feel him inside. He does love you. He knows deep down that you're doing the right thing for him and cares for him. And he's like, yes, I'm doing good things. Yes, Sam would approve that I'm letting him being possessed by an angel. That's how I took that. Is that he keeps kind of saying like, oh, Sam would be okay with this. Sam knows that like
this is he's helping
feeling
good.
This is helping Sam.
He does feel
like,
good.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, is he also tells Dean that he's like, yeah, you know, I know that you saving him from the trials, you did that out of love, you know, because you love your brother so much. It's like, yeah, that's why we're in this problem, buddy.
No, seriously.
Say something we don't know.
And this, to me, goes on to the whole conversation that Dean has with Kevin, because Dean says this whole heartfelt comment of, you know, you're my family now, which I really loved. And he says, Cass is family. I was like, oh, good. And then, but he didn't say Jody. And I was like, Anyway, he doesn't say Sir or Charlie. I was like,
Damn, his sister.
So, I know, all the women. Weird.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it was really nice that they have this conversation that, hey, stay here. You know, I actually do care about you to care about you, which is nice because to me, I think he needs to also say this to Cass. And I think this is, I know, right?
Don't talk to me.
Dude, right? Because that's how Cass feels. Cass just feels like he's a pawn. Same thing with Kevin. And because that's what Crowley says to Kevin. And in reality, Kevin sees this. And to me, this just goes to show what I was saying about they don't give a shit about Cass. And they're like, where's Cass? And he's like, I don't know. He's a human off somewhere. And Kevin's like, oh, maybe we should think about this or do something? Question mark. Dean's like, nah, it's fine. He's fine. And then cut to the next episode where he's not fine. Anyway, going back to the conversation with Kevin. Right. I think it was a little odd because we just had this whole thing with Zeke and I did this out of love with Dean and that whole bullshit. And then Kevin's going to leave to go find his mom because he needs to know for a fact if she's dead or not.
Fair.
And Dean says, does it matter? If she is alive, she's already dead. So you should maybe just leave her, you know, dead because there's no point at this point. And I was like, Dean Winchester, take your own fucking advice because we're going through this again. And this is where the character flaws start hitting me. Because Dean says this, you know, you're already dead. All this is, okay, what did you just do for Sam? What are you currently doing for Sam? This doesn't make any sense. We're going 15 million steps back now.
I mean, I think that's an underestimate of how far back we're going. But
15 million? How much? Yeah. How much more? 100?
I'd billions, say at least, trillions? I'd say at least a billion. I mean,
we're like back in season one.
Yeah, remember he's like, things that are, the dead should stay dead.
Seriously.
Like season two, episode like four or something.
Yeah.
Children shouldn't play with dead things.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden,
I mean, to be fair, that doesn't apply at the end of the season, but
I know. So I'm like, Dean, what are you doing? And then I guess you could say it's
Sam.
Well, and that's the whole thing. I guess you would say that it's Sam.
Right.
And that Dean is being a hypocrite for other people. The whole do as I say, not as I do.
I mean, that is part of who Dean is as a person. That's true.
But it's also really weird because he genuinely means this stuff. So here, when he's telling to Kevin, I don't know. It's a little odd to say, no, you need to do this. I believe what Dean is saying.
Here's what it is. They're continuing the trend we saw at the end of 8, where they're just shoehorning their characters to do stuff that doesn't make any sense. Because you're right. You would think Dean would immediately, after he gets Sam, he's like, great, you're ambulatory. We're putting you in the Impala. We're going to drive to find Cass. Right? Because Sam can rest up in the Impala. He snoozes there all the time. Right? But no, because he has to have, because Cass has to go through the whole experience that he goes through in that episode. You know, fighting Hale and everything. And, you know, learning he can't trust any angels. And that whole ordeal.
But oh yeah, we forgot to talk about that. That Cass was gonna go take that angel to the Grand Canyon, which she created, which I laughed really hard about that. I'm gonna go, they call it the Grand Canyon. He's like,
It was a Grand Canyon. He's like, the Grand Canyon. Yeah, we can go to the Grand Canyon. But I love him, and he straps in his little seatbelt when she's like, honey, you should team up with me because people are going to hunt you down.
Okay, wait, I just realized something. Oh my God, this is the whole thing with the demon rape again.
What?
Why do we have two episodes in a row?
Yeah.
Where a female wants to get inside the male vessel and possess them. Hale was like, I want to possess you,
Cassiel. Yes, I remember that.
Then Abaddon was like, I want to possess you, Dean.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Uncomfortable.
I just realized that.
I don't know which is more uncomfortable. When Abaddon was saying awful sexual things to Dean that I found uncomfortable.
And then was like...
Or when Hale was like, yes, we're going to become one. And I'm like, I don't like that. The sound of that at all. That was terrible.
I think both were pretty bad.
I'm really glad he ejected her through the window.
I want to say Dean's is worse because Abaddon said, you know, you're going to have like children fetuses blood be dripping down your chin. I'm like, ugh.
It's all pretty terrible. All the way around. Poor Cass has to kill Hale, has to kill another angel.
Yeah.
He hates killing angels. He's sick of it. He doesn't want it. That was sad. Made my heart hurt. But, you know, he learned that he's very much being hunted.
Yeah.
So he needs to be very, very careful.
Sorry, I just thought about that. But what were you saying about the end of the second episode?
Right. Yeah, the end of the second episode. Like I'm saying, they were continuing the trend of shoehorning their characters and making them do stuff to get these plot points. So Cass needed to go through that to really, like, I guess, understand how much the angels are hunting him, even though Dean told him. And, like, Cass trusts Dean's word implicitly. What more does he need to know? Anyway.
Seriously.
I mean, think about that. See, that's a point I'm making now. And you're like, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. And it's just, it's continuing and it's going to continue into the end of 9-3. And it's just, like, why?
Oh, so let's move on to the third episode, the worst episode of season 9. Maybe the second to worst episode. Actually, I don't know. There's a lot of bad episodes.
This is really mean. This episode to me is worse.
Really?
I mean, probably when we get to that episode, that one's going to be worse. But like, I really was when we watched
the mid-season finale.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I don't know because, you know, Cass is my fave.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So pretty much this episode is finally Dean's going to go look for Cass after we meet a Bartholomew fellow. However, the angels were smart to do this whole like Bible thumper dude.
Oh, no. Okay. This was genius. This was genius.
No offense to any person.
It's because it reaches a wide audience.
Mm-hmm. And just to say, let the angels in.
And
say
you gotta be like
yes.
A heavier religious generally if you like listen to those or watch them like daily.
I mean, I guess to be fair, if I heard that on the radio of like, oh, the righteous people are coming. If an angel comes to you, say yes. And I guess, I don't know, I probably would do that too if I believed in that.
I just want to say really quick, this episode is a Buck Lemming episode and that explains basically everything that happens.
Oh, it explains everything that happens. Everything. Half the stuff doesn't make any sense.
This episode not only hurts my heart, it makes me truly uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I don't know. Really, what I really want to say about this episode before we really get into it, Jared is a fantastic actor. I loved the back and forth between Ezekiel and Sam all the time. It was very, hello, yes, I'm Ezekiel.
I thought it was good.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic because he had to cut straight away. Even Dean's reaction, like, this is going to be bad. This is going to give me bad whiplash.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to give me bad
look. Because all of a sudden, Jared's like, anyway, and he's Sam again. You're like,
oh, okay.
Because he does. He changes, like, his whole posture and like everything. It's just he nails it.
Yeah, I do like that. I do love when they're looking for Cass also that he goes by the name of Clarence, and Sam laughed because he says, huh, that's what Meg called Cass, and he doesn't know that it's a famous angel. And Dean's like, what?
Okay, wait, I forgot I had beef with this.
How
okay, Dean, I grew up living in motels and watching motel television for like decades, has never seen It's a Wonderful Life. Unrealistic. He could probably quote, that's like the most shown Christmas movie.
I know, and he's super about Christmas too.
It's a Wonderful Life, White Christmas.
It doesn't make any sense.
Christmas story.
I feel like I need to write down all the references that Dean says, because even here, it was the last episode. He said, first of all, when Kevin shot the bow and arrow, he's like, okay, Katniss. Okay, that's weird that you have time to see movies that are kind of in the now.
You've seen The Hunger Games, but you've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, and then on top of that, too, I was thinking back to the vampire episode, the Live Free or Twy Hard, when they're like, yeah, it's Lautner. Or how many T's in Pattison? They're like, oh, I think that's the weird werewolf. I'm like, you've seen Twilight, but not It's a Wonderful Life. And I know you can be up on your logic and stuff, kind of like...
Sure, that's more pop culture. You could...
Like, for me, I know... I haven't seen all of Game of Thrones. I've seen Game of Thrones.
But
I
you
know
recognize the names.
I recognize the people. I probably would recognize the actors. And I... So, in my mind, I'm like, sure, he's kind of a nerd. He would do this. But it seems a little odd. Yeah, I agree with you a lot because...
That pissed me off when I... Because I didn't remember that he said that. I was like, that doesn't make any amount of sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I think he... We laughed really hard about it.
Did he ever hear Meg call him Clarence?
They did. She called him it.
He never questioned it before.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confused. Sure
she even called him when Cass was Emmanuel and said like, okay, Clarence or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. That just was weird.
Yeah, it really was. Well, Bartholomew is trying to get angels on his rank or whatever. We get our 38th blood cannon. We counted it as a blood cannon. Looked really gutsy. Wasn't a lot of blood, but it was really gutsy.
If you were off camera and it looked like you put the sack of entrails in there and you shot it from a t-shirt gun,
it looked
even if it didn't cut to the big glob, we're still kind of counting it. Maybe we're just trying to get to 100. I don't know, but I think it was fair. Bartholomew is the worst, though. He's got a great plan, but he's like, you know, sometimes the vessels, they don't react well to the grace. It happens. And that poor preacher dude's like... What's going on?
I know.
I feel bad for that poor dude. He's so excited. Taking, you know, orders for whatever from like an actual angel. I'm all excited for him. I'm like, that's very nice for you, honey. But angels are the worst.
So I thought it was weird because with Cass running around being homeless, which was very sad.
I don't want to talk about Cass being homeless.
Was it this episode or the last episode that he lost his trench?
He left it. He left his trench when we saw him at the laundromat because he was thirsty.
Yeah, he was thirsty and hungry. And he's finally listening to Dean about being hungry and thirsty because you're human.
Mm-hmm.
Cass. Also, and see, that was the other thing that I think made me angry is that at least Dean could have helped him out to spare the money maybe that he could get from that driver. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then we do see Cass is pretty prideful about being, I can't take your money. I can't take your food. I don't want to take your stuff. But I think he's slowly realizing he needs it or he's just going to starve to death.
Yeah.
Cass, however, being now one of the Winchesters, got a tattoo.
He did.
To ward himself from angels. He did listen to Dean with that, too. That was genius. The whole tattoo thing kind of pissed me off, though, a little bit, just because knowing tattoos, that's not how that works. You don't go in the store and be like, here, use this, while this lady's literally tattooing, and then she immediately goes back to tattooing.
She's like, yeah, I can do that.
Reading it on her, like, on the hands. I was like, you didn't change your gloves. Okay, odd. And then later on, again, when Cass is shirtless, I'm like, you just got that tattoo. That would be swollen. You'd have a wrap. So
that should be covered up.
I don't know what's going on. That shit's not going to last very well. But I thought that was kind of funny. That's just a side thing. And kind of going back and forth on this, because I just want to say it. The boys are being followed by another angel because Bartholomew, which the guy was pretty smart on it, but also kind of a bad follower because he got really close. And then the boys immediately knew that they were being followed by an angel.
Yeah.
I was like, you done fucked up.
Well, a reaper.
Was it a reaper? I don't know.
Yeah, the reaper's for hire. You know how like in Taxi Driver... There was that reaper who would go through, like, the portals.
I was so
and stuff.
Confused. Is he a reaper? Because, honest to God, I was like, no, he's an angel because he has grace. But then they killed April, and I was like, I'm very confused.
Well, but the...
What are reapers?
Reapers are an issue because something happens later that's very big sus of what reapers actually are.
So I just think it's odd that... We're in this weird in-between of what... that's why I was confused. That's why, honest to God, was confused. Because I was like, that's an angel. That's angel grace. They kept slitting him with the angel
Unless
thing.
Unless I'm wrong. I'm like, I'm like 99% sure.
But then they
sure.
killed April with the thing, too. The angel blade. And it right. worked. And then she was like, ah! I'm like, boy. So what's real?
So I thought maybe he was an angel. I thought he was a reaper. That's what I thought he was. Because they were talking about renting reapers.
Well,
like,
I thought maybe... They hired...
Right, because...
No. They got him, and then he was renting out reapers. He was finding reapers.
He was the one who rented them out? Was renting them?
Yeah, or hiring them, but he was an angel. You know, I guess we could look this up, but... Anyway, I also thought it was weird, too, because I want to go back to Cass now. Yeah. While Cass is doing this, A, I really liked, again, Buck Lemming. They were really trying to make Cass straight here by looking at that girl's tits, which I kind of laughed really hard about that. And then, to me, I talked to you about this, Sierra. I thought him sleeping with April was a little forced because I think they wanted that to happen. But however...
A little?
Okay. Okay. So yeah. But however, you did say, well, he's feeling really lonely and he's been alone for a while and he probably does want that companion touch and he's new and human and doesn't understand.
Devil's advocate.
And I was like, okay,
there is
I get that.
A sort of explanation for it.
Yes, I do. I do like that. I do agree with that. I didn't like how far they pushed it, I think, to kind of just be like, do it. Sleep with the woman. Yes. Kind of thing. Like it's another thing where.
I personally hated it.
Yeah.
I was
like,
uncomfortable.
Why do we need to add sex into this? I think that was
interaction.
My whole thing.
Yeah, that of course is the whole thing. I was uncomfortable with this whole interaction. Why is Supernatural hyper-sexualizing focusing on the sexual aspects of relationships? Like, relax.
Yeah, I think that was the other thing. And I know because then we know April is the Reaper, that makes sense that she wanted to play with her food.
Right. And well, and I mean, Cass always... has always liked this. He likes to sort of, I don't know, repay people. He thinks mm-hmm. he owes people. And she gave him a sandwich mm-hmm. and I guess took him home, mm-hmm, you know, because mm-hmm. he was poor baby. He was out in the rain. Mm-hmm. And it does kind of make sense for his character. A little. Like,
yes.
Like, you could argue that point. I'll give it to you. But I still hated it and thought it was unnecessary and ridiculous.
I also think for being a human in general...
Right.
Thinking of, you know, your hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. Sex might be low on that list because he is starving. He has been dehydrated for a long time. He hasn't probably slept in a good place in a long time. He probably wants a good shower. I don't know. In my mind, thinking that this is what he truly wants. He wants to go home to the bunker. And yet he's hoeing around with his Reaper. In my mind, it doesn't make any sense. And I know why you would want that physical contact, but... would it have to be that physical contact?
It was awful.
It could have just been like nice cuddles. I would have been fine with that, actually.
It was really awful. And then to top it all off, she stabs him.
Oh, yeah. I guess that was like the whole thing. This whole time, I was like, doesn't she kill him? Also, but we were really confused because we did not know that April was April. We were like, no, she's a brunette. We were like,
she's like a dark brunette.
Yeah.
I don't know why we both like, thought this.
I was like, that's not her. That's not her at all. And then maybe we were getting confused with Hale.
Blocked out April.
Yeah,
because
so
I've seen this episode
stupid.
A couple of times, but I just blocked that out because it upsets me and I don't want to think about it.
Well, yeah, because then we get to the end when Okay, there's a lot going on.
There's a little bit.
They find Cass because Dean asks Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's like, why are you fucking asking me, dude? But then does it anyway. And then April stabs Cass, and then Ezekiel then helps him. It's this weird back and forth.
Ezekiel heals Cass. Hooray! Dean doesn't have to be sad about that.
Yes.
And then, oh my God, Dean was like, no.
Well, okay, also to be fair, though, he was just like, yeah, I don't know. And then he was just like, he's dead.
He wasn't as much of a wreck as I expected him to be. I don't know if it was just like him not believing it, although it was pretty face grabby. But whatever.
I don't know.
But then he has to like give some explanation to Sam, which is getting ridiculous. It's only happened twice now, but it's getting ridiculous how he has to explain away Ezekiel kind of saving the day.
Yeah, I know. Again, and even Cap was like, she stabbed me. Why am I healed? He's like, I've made a deal.
The big deal with her.
And then Cass, like,
I stabbed her.
I lied. But I think Cass was just so happy that Sam and Dean were there. He's like, oh, yay.
Oh, my God. Okay. Are you kidding me? He was relieved.
And then he gets to go to the bunker. Has he been to the bunker before? He has,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's been to the bunker, but he's appreciating it now even more as a human.
He
loves the water pressure. So cute. He
him
and
Dean
both
comment.
Cass wasn't there when he's seven. He's like, love the water pressure.
Dean's like, yeah, that's like, definitely true.
Yeah, great water pressure.
Yeah, and then again, they bring up the whole Cass sleeping with April thing.
Yep, they
just
had
to hit on
it.
I mean, I thought it was funny for Dean being like, oh, you how
had
was
your
that?
Angel blade.
You had your angel blade for protection. Oh, he had his angel blade for protection. Like, I thought that was kind of funny to be teasing because
that
like,
was
kind of
funny.
Cass and it's funny.
But I was also just like, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah, I was very tired of it. But then we get to the best part of the episode, right, Sierra?
No.
This is why this episode, honestly, is just, this is the epitome of buckling, I think.
So Cass is sitting here and he's eating a little burrito. Mm-hmm. And he's so happy about his burrito and he's so comfy and clean.
And then Dean has a conversation with Ezekiel and Ezekiel says he can't stay here.
He's gotta go.
Angels are gonna find him and he's gonna be bad for me. And what are you gonna do? Sam is in trouble. You have to look out for Sam. And what does Dean do?
Okay, to be fair, before all this happens, Dean does fight a lot. I forgot that he does this because I was so pissed off the first time I saw this that mm-hmm. I just forgot that he was like, okay, there's warding and no one knows this place exists.
Cass can't be warded. Tracked.
Yeah. He's like, there's literally no way this makes any sense how he wouldn't be saved here.
Cass can just stay here for a few weeks.
We'll just hang out.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. So Dean goes to Cass and he's like, hey, buddy, can we talk? And Cass is like, oh my gosh. Of course, Dean, you know I love our talks and our time together, how I appreciate it so.
That did kill me.
I forgot he said that first, and I was like, don't do it, Dean.
Dude, and also this is huge to me because in my eyes, they've had talks like this, and this just supports that whole thing where I said originally that Dean talks to Cass about problems that he doesn't talk to Sam. Because, you know, that seems like there's a bigger connection on that of like, oh, we have talks. Or if Dean doesn't see it that way, that they're, you know, they're just chatting about stuff. But Cass is saying, these are talks. This is a time we've spent together. This is stuff that we've done. He's taking it really to heart. What does Dean do?
He cherishes every moment he spends with the Winchesters, especially Dean.
Yeah, and Dean rips out his fucking heart.
Dean tells him that he can't stay.
That's it. That's the episode.
I'm literally teary-eyed saying this. I'm not exaggerating.
It's can't stay, buddy.
It upsets me so.
And Cass is like, what? Well, he doesn't say that.
He doesn't. Ooh. He just looks so betrayed and heartbroken because like his favorite people in the world are kicking him out of his home, which, you know what? You know what? This is it. This moment is the reason why Cass never, I think, really considers the bunker his home. It's always the Winchesters.
Oh, yeah.
It's not his bunker. It's not his home. It's
because
the bunker.
Because he's kicked out. Wow. Yeah. Damn, that's gut-wrenching. I'm gutted. The drama, the real of it all.
I'm gutted.
Dude, I'm going to listen to that back, and I'm going to start bawling my eyes out. Gutted.
I'm fucking gutted. Jerry, you're gutted. I'm gutted.
Okay, so I think that's all for this episode, as dramatic as it was. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @HunterHost. Talk to us, let us know.
What do you think about this episode? Was it also your favorite?
Also, check out our ratings for every episode and see where they fall in our ranking. Again, we are your Hunter Hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We are driving off, and we will see you all next time in our rearview mirror.
Bye! Bye.